Live from the Mermaid Show at Weeki Wacki Springs, Florida, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the longtime legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who can lift 100 pounds over his head, Richard J. Ringhausen. And introducing a special guest, self-taught herpetologist, a man charged with keeping the Illinois River alligator population under control, two-time World Bridge Federation champion, and well-loved song and dance man, the itchiest of the Ringhausen brothers, Craig Ringhausen Johnson. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, and daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who can parallel park a truck pulling a trailer, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers, and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen.
Yeah!
Thank you! Thank you! Did you say, when you were introducing Craig, did you say that he was the best loved or best rubbed? I can't, what were you?
Well loved.
Well loved. I thought you said well rubbed. Okay.
I said he was the,
which I think is
said
weird.
He was the itchiest of the Ringhausen brothers.
Definitely that.
It's like the dog you discussed on the last episode dragging himself across.
Is that how you picture him? Craig, get off that rug.
Nice to have you, Craig.
Hey, nice to be here. Thanks.
Wow.
I think.
Okay, before we get into our topic, I told you that I was binging on watching the old-time Star Trek TV show, the original TV show. Only ran three episodes. I really wasn't around all that long.
You mean three seasons?
Three seasons, yeah. I said episodes. Three seasons before William Shatner went on to his singing career.
Yeah, I was watching some show where some kid was trying to describe Star Trek to someone else. You know, like 90 episodes, about 30 good ones.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. But I, as I've been watching this, I think that my iPhone will do more than any of the instruments that any of them used on the show, with the exception of intergalactic travel.
Yeah, you mean that it actually, instead of them having to flip out an electric shaver and talk into it?
Yeah. Yeah, my phone's better. Yeah, you got a picture. Phone's got a good picture.
Yeah.
Clear.
And you got a computer that doesn't.
Yeah, I can ask it questions, and yeah, it comes up with the answers quicker than they do.
Do you know?
Spock, can you calculate that? It'll take me some time, Captain, but I can come up with it. Well, I already have it. It's here on my iPhone.
Do you know that the voice of the computer woman was Nurse Chapel?
No.
And that she was like Gene Roddenberry's,
main squeeze?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like the woman he was having an affair with until he got divorced and then married her.
Okay.
And when they did the pilot for Star Trek,
the
Cage, I think they ran it later on. She was like the Spock character, number one, they call her.
Yeah.
And the guys who bought the show said, fine with Star Trek, we don't like this actress, get rid of her. So they changed her hair color from black to blonde, and he crammed her back in as Nurse Chapel.
Wow, right back in.
And he also made her the voice of the computer. But what's interesting is, I think she's dead now, but until she died, she was the voice of every computer on every Star Trek show that ran. Discovery, Voyager, Deep Space Nine. That was Roddenberry's wife that voiced all those computers.
Did you know that, Craig, our uncle was the voice of Charlie from Charlie's Angels?
No.
Not many people did.
That's interesting.
And he got to marry one of the angels.
Which one?
In real life. I can't tell you.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those dirty family secrets that you're just not dragging up for everybody.
Really dirty. Yeah, I watched Charlie's Angels the other day. God, what a simple show.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
Stunts are terrible. I mean, it's just awful. God, I love it.
Well, you know what's going on right now?
Are you getting all choked up?
Yeah. You know what's going on right now?
What?
The Olympics are going on.
Oh, yeah. Have you been watching? God, just glued to the TV, Rick.
A couple questions I've got.
Did cable TV, satellite TV, make watching the Olympics better or worse than
I don't think so.
I don't think so better or I don't think so worse.
I don't think it made it better. I mean, technically, you can watch every single event that goes on if you want to, but most of them aren't really. There's no reason to watch most of them.
You think the Olympics were better during the Jim McKay era?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they picked and chose what you got to see. Yeah. They knew what people wanted to see.
I don't know that they did. I like the Olympics.
Huh?
I like all the...
They knew that women skating in short skirts was going to sell commercial time. And that's what they focused on. Figure skating was the premier event of the Olympics.
Okay.
And it pretty much still is.
And, you know, the problem with that, it's one of those subjective things. You know, you fall down, yeah, you're probably in last place, you know, but some of the other things, you know, they'll pick out a favorite and give them the gold.
Oh, yeah. You know, when you just said about falling down, it depends on who you are. If you're like some no-name kid who does like the most perfect routine, but, oh, he kind of landed that one on the edge, that's going to really cost him.
He came down a little short on that.
You know, maybe next Olympics he'll be up there.
But, right.
But, you know, for now, that's going to
be. But they sunk a lot of advertising into it.
But then the favorite will plop down on their rump two or three times. Well, it was a really difficult routine, so they're not going to really take off much for that because he tried.
Okay. Yeah, I just not Olympic related, but I went to the ballet one time and I was at the Nutcracker, right? And the Sugar Plum Princess, you know, just doing their big dance, and she falls flat on her ass. And everybody there's like, you know, it's just like murmur goes to the crowd, you know.
And you just busted out laughing really loud.
It was all I could do. And my wife grabs my arm, you know, like real hard.
Because she knew you were going to laugh out loud.
Don't. I was tempted to just stand up and start. Yo! Bravo!
Well, that's hell.
The cruelest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Anyway. But that's kind of the way it is, you know, when, you know, like the superstar falls and the, oh, wow. Especially if she's Russian. Oh, wait, I shouldn't say that anymore. Russians are our closest friend we got in the world right now.
You got it. I was looking at some of these sports.
Yeah.
Do you know
Get your scraps of paper together, Rick.
Well, we were talking about, once before we talked about sports that you or I or Johnson could do at the Olympics.
Okay, is that where you as you're watching the Olympics, you're saying to yourself, I could do that.
Could I do this? Curling? You know, I am not a trained curler, but I could be.
Any schmuck could do that.
You could learn to curl.
Anybody
could.
Don't you
think you could
curl? I agree. Oh, yeah.
What about skeleton? When you were a kid, was it still snowing when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Did you get snow when you were a kid?
Yeah. Get on one of them runner sleds?
Yeah.
Yep.
So the skeleton. Skeleton's where you're going head first. Right.
On a runner sled at like 90, right?
Yeah, what is the skeleton actually is 86 miles an hour.
Okay.
What's the single man sled that they go down on their back?
That's the luge.
Okay.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
And luge can hit almost 100 miles an hour. But.
And they steer it with their feet.
But if you got to be, if you're a luger, you know.
I envision you as a luger.
No. Like, Johnson, could you do the luge?
At my current weight, it's probably a bad idea.
He gets stuck in the chute.
you'd have to wear a skin tight, you know, bodysuit that, you know, is doesn't catch the air at all. That sounds like a horrifying thing for people to have to watch, too.
Shows every contour. And the other thing, wow. I remember, it's cold there.
Right, I'd need a cod piece for sure.
I don't want to be involved in any sport where I have to wear a unitard.
Okay, if I were in a sport where I had to wear a unitard and I was slightly overweight, my unitard would look like one of those butcher shirts that shows the different cuts of meat.
Now, wait a second. Didn't you wear a unitard in the Barcelona games?
I did.
Okay.
Well, a onesie.
Yeah, when you wrestled, you wore a onesie.
It was a onesie, yeah.
Yeah, you
like a King Kong Bundy, just a single
no,
strap?
No, it wasn't never a single strap.
Oh, right? It was two-strapper.
Okay. That's for professionals. I was still an amateur.
I gotcha.
What are you, some kind of weirdo? Come on, man.
Those speed skater guys, they have to wear the unitard now, too.
Do they wear the funky helmet?
The Pee Wee Herman bicycle helmet?
Bicycle helmet, yeah.
No,
the speed skaters don't wear those?
They wear... It's
just a hood over their head.
Like, yeah, it's like a skin tight.
Like those three guys from The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
The Nihilists.
The Germans. Yeah, I was the Nihilists.
Do you remember the cartoon The Phantom?
A little bit.
Well, they wear an outfit like The Phantom. Like a unitard, but with a hood that comes up tightly over your head so that you don't have any air resistance when you're skating.
Okay, you know, what is the big giant ski jump where you just... I mean, any fool that's young.
Give you a push and down you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how many cartoons or comedies have you seen, like, where Charlie Chaplin gets a shove and goes down?
And accidentally goes down the big ski jump.
Down the agony of defeat.
And does pretty good.
Of course, they always do pretty good.
Yeah, the agony of defeat. That guy ever get any money out of that?
I don't know. ABC sure capitalized on that,
man, forever. And like, he takes out the cameraman on right at the end, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
The agony of defeat.
Yeah, but did those guys get anything out of that?
No, I don't think so.
I shouldn't have called
them. I think I sued him
fame.
For a lifetime of humiliation. It's not, I guess, not they couldn't see.
Half pipe, what do you guys
couldn't see their face.
What do you think of the half pipe?
I'm fine with it. I like it.
I mean, it's interesting to watch, but is it a sport? In your opinion? Come on, take a position.
Yes. Yeah, it's a sport.
Just because you can't do it doesn't make it a sport. You know, there'd be a jillion sports out there.
Like NASCAR.
I think it's a sport, but I think it's one of these things that's, you know, kind of skewed to the hype guys. You know, like they all have, you know, well, this Canadian, well, there won't be any Canadians at the next one because they're going to be the 51st United States. But, you know, you'll get some guy, you know, like from Japan, and he's, you know, like all hyped up, he's a national hero and stuff. And hell, he's coming in with more points than anybody else already.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. So it's way too subjective.
Do you think...
Now, if they had a half pipe and they had some stick, you had to, you know, jump up so high...
And ring a bell.
Ring a bell.
Yeah, and you can ring the bell.
And it just keeps getting higher on each side.
And like bells with different... With different tones,
different points,
and depending on how high you go, you get up there and ring that bell.
But it's not just about height. It's about the
tricks. If that was the case, they could put a monkey on a board and let him go up and down.
Okay, there was which one of you guys has the sheet with speed skiing on it?
That's I got that.
Okay, that was an event that they tried out in one of the
that's just like straight down, right?
It's straight down the chute. What's it say about speed skiing?
The first 300 or 400 meters of the course is used to gain speed. The top speed is measured in the next 100 meters, which is 330 foot, the timing zone. And the last 500 meters, which is 1,600 feet, is the runout area. That's used for slowing down and coming to a stop.
But it's just straight down.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Not exceed 200 clicks or 124 miles an hour.
Wow.
Now that's a speed skating. I mean, none of this dodging in between
speed
flags and
skiing.
Stuff. It's just speed skiing. Yeah, you give somebody a push, he hunks into the position and down he goes.
They actually have to go between certain gates, I think.
Not on speed skiing. It was just straight down.
Straight down.
And they said... You know, the question was, to what extent is that a sport? Because you could technically make it straight up and down to where it's just like parachuting.
Right. Well, yeah, so, stay on your skis.
But the first year that they did this as a demonstrator sport at the Olympics, some guy came down, plowed like a snow machine and killed him.
Really?
And they said, enough speed skiing. They dumped it that year.
Well, maybe next year they should move the machine.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
Well, important safety tip.
I think one of Robert Redford's better movies was Downhill Skier. You ever see that? He was young. His hair was perfect. He was gorgeous.
Before we go any further, we got another commercial. You want to do another commercial, Captain Craig?
Man, I... Yeah.
Attaboy.
It'd be weird if I didn't read this one.
Yeah, it really would.
Hi, this is Craig Johnson, assistant dance choreographer for the Calhoun Entertainment Company. Are you tired of being a wallflower at the school dance? Do you wish you were light on your toes? Do you yearn to trip the light fantastic with that attractive young lady down the block? Well, you've come to the right place. Jitterbug, the Lindy, the Charleston. Here at Captain Craig's Dance Academy, we'll be teaching you all the modern dance steps, from the cha-cha to the electric boogaloo. In no time whatsoever, 6 months, you'll be cutting a rug with Linda Lou and fighting all the guys whose girls have let them dance with you. And you don't know how to fight? We'll teach you that, too. Captain Craig's Dance Academy and Fisticuffs, first lesson free.
Woo!
Hey, that's pretty good.
And you're having to fight because you're such a good dancer that all the women want to line up to dance with you.
Give me three steps. He's dancing with Linda Lou.
Linda Lou, yeah.
And had to fight some guy.
Had to fight your way out of that.
Fight your way out of that. You run into that a lot, don't you?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, so you're the dance choreographer?
Assistant.
Speaking of leotard.
No, Lisa...
Warner.
Foils. Right.
Yeah.
Is the choreographer for the Calhoun Entertainment Company.
Right.
I mean, I haven't been there for a few years. I used to give her tips.
Right. Well, you were the assistant then.
I was.
Right.
But I turned that job over.
Yeah.
At one point in time, wasn't Lynette Rowe the choreographer?
Benslater, when she was Benslater.
Dance choreographer?
Yeah, she was choreographer.
Okay.
She taught me to dance. Music Man.
Just like Danny Terrio.
When I...
Do you know who Danny Terrio was?
Dance Fever.
Okay.
He taught John Travolta to dance. Attaboy.
When you were in high school, did you have to disco dance?
No.
Okay.
Did you have to square dance?
No.
Did you have to do any dancing?
No. Larry had us running all the time.
Did you play bombardment in high school?
No.
Do you know what bombardment is?
No.
Okay. Bombardment is this game where, you know, like your half-court basketball, right? And they would line up all of these rubber balls, like dodgeballs, on the center, and they divide the gym class into half.
The jocks on one side and everyone who wasn't on the particular...
That's Rick's life.
The PE teacher who was like the football coach on his spare time. All of his favorites were on one side and everybody else was on the other.
Rick's going to drop to the floor into the fetal position any moment now and start crying. But they would put all the balls in the middle of the gym and then the coach would blow the whistle and everybody run up and try and grab a ball because of... fewer balls than people. And if you ran to the line and didn't get a ball, chances are you got drilled in the face really hard with a rubber ball.
And then
you run back to the opposite sides of the gym and they start throwing. And as soon as you got hit with the ball, you were eliminated. You had to go
so
to the sidelines.
The secret was to be as far away and get hit as
you
could.
How is this not dodgeball?
But, well, it had a little bit of a twist to it. But you had to, you know, and then if there's a ball just bounced around, you could grab it and you had to drill somebody. But, like, even after you were drilled and you're walking to the sideline,
they drill you again.
You're still getting hit.
Because
you're on the floor.
And the guys were sadists.
They were. And the coach is standing on the side. Oh, God, what? Yeah.
That sounds like a pretty good game if you're on the right side.
Oh, yeah. You know, the thing, though, is that...
Get your glasses knocked off your face.
What you have to wonder is, if instead of being 5 foot, 100-pound weaklings at the time, if we'd been like big strapping jocks, would we have treated the young ones, the little ones, the same way?
Oh, yeah.
was going to say.
Opportunity away.
You're sitting in the audience laughing at some ballerina that slipped and fell in a concert. I'm guessing that's the story.
It would be better if I'd been able to throw a rubber ball at her.
you could have clubbed her while she's down. There's a sport for the Olympics.
No, I'm just joking.
When you watch skiing, do you want them to just go straight flying down the hill, or do you want to see them go back and forth between flags? What do you think, Johnson?
I saw them.
You want to see them go back and forth between flags?
Yeah.
I want speed. Let's get them down there. Let's get it over with.
I do think that when they show those things on TV, like the guys going down Grand Slalom and Alpine or whatever, I don't think you have a real sense of how damn steep that is.
You don't.
I mean,
like when they wipe out and show them stand back up. They're, you know, like turned sideways and just, I mean, it's just so steep they can't, you know, hardly get back up.
You ever been skiing?
Never.
Never skied?
No. Huh. Water or snow?
We went up
to... You work on a bridge. You don't water ski?
Nah, you never water skied? You're from Calhoun. You never water skied?
No.
Huh. Can you swim?
No.
So you have not dived off the bridge.
So if you fall off the bridge, man, it's the end.
Yeah.
You're going to drown.
Well, unless I got
or a life jacket. Or be stuck on the bottom.
That's why I wear my harness.
Okay, so we went to Waukesha, Wisconsin to go skiing. Never been. There's a whole group of us went up in a van. Never been skiing for in our lives. We rent our skis, get in line, and go. You know, we said, well, you know, it can't be that hard. Look at all these other people skiing. Picked the steepest slope, all went to the top, just all took off, and every one of us just crashed. Rick killed a guy.
Oh, you what? You know that sport you just read, that speed skiing?
Yeah.
I've done it, man.
That was us. We all just, you know, like, just took off.
I just pushed off. I had no idea how to turn. Just got into a tight tuck. I mean, like I was a
definitely didn't know how to stop.
And just ripped down that hill. I had been going 100 miles an hour going down that hill. And some guy at the bottom, I just...
paid the price.
I'm surprised I didn't kill him. I hit him so hard.
Honest to God.
And the guys that ran the
hell of a show
came and scolded me and told me to...
Hey, that's not how we ski around here.
You need to not be going down that slope, sir.
Okay. So it was off to the bunny slope for the rest of the day. They had, and we're totally uneducated in the world of skiing, but they had, you know, the traditional ski lift, and that's what the experience we want. You know, you get on the bench, ride up, go off the big hill. But for flatland idiots like us, they had the bunny slope, and they have a rope, and you grab hold of this rope, and it drags you up this gentle little hill, and then you turn around, and you gently come down.
You snowplow down. Point your toes together like you're pigeon-toed, and just kind of shuffle back and
forth. Why couldn't we have made a rope device like that, you know, that's operated by a tractor and just had it on Cooper Hill? Why couldn't we have done that?
Because we just drove up in a truck.
Okay. But it would have saved the effort.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because it just kept going and going and going.
You know how sometimes people put their names on the bottoms of their skis?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the last time I was skiing, I was going up in the...
I thought you said you never went skiing.
You had to ruin a joke, don't you?
No, go ahead. Last time you were skiing.
I was going up in the ski lift, and I look down at this guy's skis, and I look at his name, and we have this great, you know, long conversation, and it was pretty cool. So next time, you guys ought to try that. It was pretty good. The guy's name was Rental.
That was a lot of buildup, man.
Bob Rental.
No mercy here.
Hockey.
What? Hockey? Yeah. The big thing is missing from Olympic hockey is the fighting. They don't... they focus on scoring more.
Yeah, they need...
it's
that.
A bigger ice surface.
No, they need Brad.
They need two pucks on the ice at all time.
Years ago, when they first opened the skating rink, was it at Granite City? First, that was the closest one around. And Jerseyville got a hockey team together. And a lot of the other towns had hockey teams, just like a local hockey team. And our brother Brad had a lot of heart.
He was the goon.
He was the goon. You seen the movie Goon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Slapshot?
Yeah.
No, he was one of the handsome brothers.
Brad didn't get a lot of ice time, but when he did, whoo!
He made the most of it.
He had the most stitches of any player on the team.
And he was the only person to take off his skate and try to stab somebody.
Most likely, yes. But they just put him in there. Just that guy's scoring way too much. The biggest problem Brad had was ever catching the guy.
That was the same role he played when he played basketball. Go and foul that guy.
Most likely, yeah.
Before he makes a shot, you foul him.
Have we told our other brother's basketball career story?
Not lately. You can tell it to Johnson.
I had a brother, Dennis, Uncle Den.
Right.
And a friend of his, Jeff Getten. They were both in the same class in school, grade school. And they were on the basketball team 5th through 8th grade. Never missed a game. I mean, they were the faithful. Now, all they did. And
Wait. Before you go. You know, there's two types of coaches. One that says, okay, it's grade school. Let's give
everybody
gets a chance to play. And then there's another guy that says, I want to win no matter what. I'm taking the 5 best kids. They're going to play every minute of every game, and we're going to win.
That's what they had right there. And Dennis and Jeff, you know, the faithful, they never missed. You know, they went to every game, home and away, and sat on the bench and watched the other players play. And they were okay with it. You know, they joked around. They had their fun. They were part of the team, what have you. And in their 8th grade year, they were at some tournament someplace, and their team was losing so horribly that the coach leans forward, looks down the bench, and says, Ringhausen, Getten, go in. And they both kind of stared at him for a while. And he said, I said, go in. Come on. This is your chance. And they both come over to the coach and said, we can't. I said, what are you talking about? You know what the play. You know the rules. Go in. And they said, we didn't put our suits on under our warm-ups. They just had their street clothes on because they never played. So they stopped changing into their basketball uniforms.
Why would you?
Yeah, exactly. So they just, you know, had their zipped up all the way to their chin. So they missed their big opportunity.
Okay.
Hell, they could have gone on a scoring spree that would have earned them starting position.
Yeah, right. It was last game of
the year. They were on the bench for a reason.
Anyway. Going back to the Olympics, one last topic.
They were half the size of all the other players. But go on.
Just like
they were like two hobbits.
Just like when they played bombardment.
They were like Frodo and what was the other one? Sam. Sam and Frodo down at the end of the bench. And their feet are that hairy.
Wow. Olympic question. Last question. Should countries that put an Olympic team in be required to have people that are strictly from that country? Like, if you're an American that can't make the American...
And then you apply for citizenship in some other country
yeah. And you make their team.
You're born there. Yeah, I think we should make a rule. Whatever country you're born in, that's your team.
See, that's the way baseball should be, too.
Whatever city you're born in, you play in that city.
Yeah. Man, you just... You get your baseball players from your St. Louis Cardinals, you get them right around St. Louis.
Has to be a 50-mile radius of your city.
Yeah, none of this trading back and forth or going to whatever. You know, you're the world's greatest player, and you have the misfortune to...
Being born
in Cleveland. Too bad. That's where you're going to play.
You got to play there.
Well, that's what happened in basketball.
Yeah.
What do you mean, that's what happened in basketball? Well,
the greatest basketball player ever was born in Cleveland.
And he went and played in Cleveland, didn't he?
Yeah.
Until he didn't get enough money and didn't like it there, and then he went somewhere else, didn't he?
Yeah. I don't blame him.
What do you want to play?
Taking his talent.
You can do that in college now.
I know.
Whatever team you want to play.
Yeah, just switch back
and they pay him. You know, I mean, college sports are over.
Well, they always paid him, but now it's above.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Dabo was crying.
But what's that got to do with the Olympics?
Well, nothing. Okay. Can you get paid to be in the Olympics now? You can do all the commercials you want. Jim Thorpe back in his day.
You can be a professional athlete and be in the Olympics now.
Some sports, not all.
It's not all?
No.
Where's the limit? Where did they cut it off at?
You can't be a professional curler.
Oh, that makes sense.
You have to be an amateur curler.
Okay. All right, we're out of time.
Is that possible again?
Yes, again.
All right.
I think time moves at a different speed. It's kind of like an episode of Star Trek where they don't have iPhones. All right.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Crocodile.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Captain Craig's Fungal Lard and Ski Wax. Slick isn't the word for it. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Crocodile, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network. Accept no substitutes, because there aren't any.